It's time to read the East Valley News. Thank you for joining me. I'm your volunteer reader, Bill Carney. Today, we're going to be focusing on the news of the past week from Ahwatukee and Tempe, including Conservative Group Expands Ahwatukee Footprint, Water Valve Thefts Frustrate Ahwatukee HOA, Spinato's Brings Back Kindness Bags, Ahwatukee Group Puts Unique Twist on Quilts, Club West Trial Enters New Phase, and ASU football fans come out for home opener in sold-out game. Our first article from the Ahwatukee Foothills News. Conservative Group Expands Ahwatukee Footprint by AFN News Staff. A subsidiary of a conservative political action group expanded its footprint in Ahwatukee with the purchase last week of a second building. Turning Point Endowment Incorporated shelled out $3.85 million for a 10,312-square-foot warehouse at 4950 East Beverly Road, according to commercial real estate tracker Vizda.com. The buyer is a subsidiary of Turning Point USA. About Turning Point USA, a nonprofit founded in 2012 by a 19-year-old college student, Charlie Kirk, to identify, educate, train, and organize students to promote the principles of freedom, free markets, and limited government. Since its founding, Turning Point USA has embarked on a mission to build the most organized, active, and powerful conservative grassroots activist network on college campuses across the country. With a presence on over 3,500 college and high school campuses, Turning Point USA is the largest and fastest-growing youth organization in America. Turning Point's political action arm, Turning Point Action, has been active in state and national political campaigns, including the upcoming Republican primary for governor. Campaign records show it has contributed heavily to U.S. Representative Andy Biggs in his race for the gubernatorial nomination against attorney land use consultant Karen Taylor Robeson, reporting it already has spent nearly $459,000 on his behalf, including $352,000 for TV ads. GuideStar, which tracks nonprofits across the country, describes Indiana-based Turning Point Endowment as a supporting organization to Turning Point USA and says its mission is to support and benefit Turning Point USA's charitable purposes and long-term viability. Turning Point Endowment paid a square foot price of $373 for the warehouse, which was built in 2000 and is about 3/4 acre, according to Vizda. That building is located next to the former 10,312-square-foot South Point Business Center that Turning Point Endowment Incorporated purchased in 2021 for just under $2.2 million. Located on almost an acre, that single-story building was built in 2000. Turning Point USA in 2018 bought the land on which that building is located for $1.65 million. They did not return a request for comment. Last week's transaction was one of two major land deals in Ahwatukee, according to Vizda. San Diego-based Coleridge paid $39.75 million for the Serafina at South Mountain, a 183 unique apartment complex at 51st Street and Elliott Road. Coleridge bought the property from Western Wealth Capital, which paid $27.4 million for the complex 6 years ago. Built in 1985 on 8.3 acres, the complex comprises 16 two-story buildings with a mix of 1- and 2-bedroom units. Vizda listed the per-unit price paid by Coleridge at $217,213. Coleridge was formed in 1977 by three businessmen who came to America from South Africa to escape the political and economic unrest caused by the apartheid, according to the company's website. The sons now run the company, which describes itself as a residential platform that leverages a unique home-building background, renovation expertise, sophisticated in-house construction, and design teams brought together in private capital partnerships. Coleridge is recognized as an industry leader for creating superior design-centric product and delivering life-changing services to its multifamily residents. With a portfolio of 20,000 units in complexes across the country, Coleridge is currently expanding a 985-unit complex to 1,900 units on 43 acres in Scottsdale called Gentry on the Green, and doubling the size of a 487-unit complex on 17 acres in Tempe called Gateway Scottsdale, according to its website. That was Conservative Group Expands Ahwatukee Footprint. Our next article, Water Valve Thefts Frustrate Ahwatukee HOA, by Paul Mariniak. Thieves probably got a few bucks for the valves they stole from a tiny Ahwatukee Homeowners Association, but it was a costly crime for the HOA. Last month, thieves struck RT2, a 124-home sub-association of the massive Ahwatukee Board of Management. They stole three backflow preventers, breaking the padlocks on a cage that protected the valves. Backflow preventers, which stop an undesirable reversal of water into the main distribution system, are made partly with copper and brass, desirable metals to scavenging thieves. RT2's backflow preventers regulate the gray water that irrigates its common areas as well as homeowners' front yards. A 30-year-old city plumbing regulation states, as a water purveyor, the city of Phoenix is obligated to protect its public water supply from the possibility of contamination or pollution by enacting and enforcing a containment or secondary backflow prevention program. HOA member Tom Hemingway said, not only did they vandalize and steal the expensive devices, they left the water flowing, causing a torrent of water to flow hundreds of thousands of gallons to seek its lowest point, forming a lake in the front of the 18th green at the Ahwatukee Golf Course on South 48th Street. While a family of ducks enjoyed the new water feature, he added sarcastically, the vandalism and theft are not only unconscionable, the waste of water doubles the injury. Hemingway said the theft will not only cost the HOA $12,000 to replace the preventers, but also an extra $2,000 in its city water bill. We lost about 100,000 gallons of water. He said the city had contacted the HOA's management company about the unusual spike in water usage, and eventually determined it was not the HOA's fault. Nonetheless, the City Water Services Department said RT2 is still on the hook for the water that was lost. Because the HOA's insurer won't cover the theft, the $14,000 will come out of RT2's capital fund, and that takes away from doing other stuff that we need to do, Hemingway added. Fortunately, we have the funds to take care of it, he said. But if you can imagine a community that's hard up for funds, that can be pretty expensive. The theft is not the first in Ahwatukee. In recent years, other HOAs have reported similar crimes, and Hemingway said other ABM sub-associations also have been victimized this year. We've heard from our property management people that this is happening all over the valley, Hemingway said. One Scottsdale HOA saw 9 backflow preventers stolen in one night, causing water to run all night before it was noticed, he said. In RT2's case, the theft apparently occurred shortly after midnight, though it's something of a mystery. A neighbor's Ring camera picked up only one vehicle passing by the area where the valves are located the night of the theft, but it didn't stop. Maybe it stopped down the street and someone got out. We don't know, Hemingway said, adding the thieves were sophisticated, using an electric or gas-powered saw to cut through the padlocks for the cage. It takes them about 5 seconds to slice through the copper, Hemingway said, adding, this wasn't casual. This is somebody who's planning to do it. Thefts of backflow preventers and other things with copper fluctuate with the metal's price on the market. And right now, copper prices command top dollar amid increasing demand from infrastructure, technology, and alternative energy, as well as widening supply and demand gap. Arizona law prohibits scrap metal dealers from knowingly purchasing copper or bronze backflow preventer valves in their original manufactured form. This is part of a broader statute aimed at curbing the theft of metal items that are commonly targeted for their scrap value. Hemingway said the thieves likely head to Mexico, which has no such law, but likely only get maybe $20 a valve. Hemingway was dismayed that Phoenix police declined to investigate the theft, while at the same time, the city is going to great lengths to make sure people aren't planting grass and trees. They're threatening communities for overwatering, and yet, have any steps been taken with voluminous amounts of water going down the drain with these thefts? As far as any HOA's ability to prevent such thefts is concerned, the options are limited, since the backflow preventers can't be buried underground. Since cages with locks didn't deter RT2's thieves, Hemingway said the HOA's only other option is buying newer and pricier backflow preventer models made mostly of PVC plastic. It takes away the incentive for stealing them, Hemingway said, adding that there's a frustrating catch. The thieves don't know it's plastic until they take it. It's like until the word gets around, don't waste your time. It's still happening. That was Water Valve Thefts Frustrate Ahwatukee HOA. Our next article, Spinato's Brings Back Kindness Bags by AFN News Staff. For the third consecutive year, Tempe-based Spinato's Pizzeria and Family Kitchen is issuing the Kindness Challenge to its restaurant guests during the month of September, National Kindness Month. Diners can purchase a kindness bag for a $5 donation at Spinato's East Valley locations in Tempe, Scottsdale, Gilbert, and Ahwatukee, and then give the bag to someone in need. All proceeds from bag sales benefit St. Vincent de Paul. Volunteers gathered at Spinato's Pizzeria, Tempe corporate headquarters, in mid-August to pack several hundred kindness bags, with an idea toward launching the month-long program on September 1st. Kindness bags full of toiletries, snacks, and water, and people who buy them are asked top giver, one to someone in need that they come across. In addition, on October 20th, Spinato's will make fresh pizza at St. Vincent de Paul's kitchen and serve it to the guests of St. Vincent de Paul's family dining room in Mesa. The Valley is facing a significant and worsening homeless crisis, a spokesman for the pizzeria said. Food insecurity also continues to be a problem. According to the 2025 Point in Time Count Report from the Maricopa Association of Governments, there was a 3% increase of people experiencing homelessness from last year, which included an increase of homeless veterans and young adults 18 to 24. St. Vincent de Paul serves communities throughout central and northern Arizona, providing services for people experiencing homelessness, medical and dental care for uninsured patients, charity dining rooms that serve thousands each day, food boxes for hungry families, and thrift stores throughout the region. Jamie Spinato, Spinato's co-owner and director of community outreach, said her company is dedicated to making their surrounding communities better places to live and work. We believe it's important to build a culture of kindness, she said, and we know that a small act of kindness can go a long way, especially for someone who is experiencing homelessness. Partnering with St. Vincent de Paul on the Kindness Challenge aligns with our charitable pillars of helping others in need, especially veterans. Giving back has always been part of who we are, and it was a key reason that we founded the Kenneth A. Spinato Foundation in 2009 to further our commitment to serving others. As a foundation and a business, we have aligned three pillars that are close to our hearts, the foundation says on its website. These three pillars are kids, vets, and service animals. Brandon Buck, a community engagement officer for St. Vincent de Paul, said Spinato's campaign comes at a critical time. Every day we witness thousands of people in need of not just resources, but also a little bit of kindness and care from one human being to another, Buck said. That's why we're so impressed by the thoughtfulness of Spinato's Kindness Challenge. We're not only grateful for their support, but also for their efforts to spur more compassion and connection in our community. This year's October event has grown to include the support of other businesses, including Greco & Sons, an Italian food service distributor, and Pepsi. Other sponsors include Crescent Crown Distributing, Basically Bows and Bow Ties, and Sarah Hair Designs and Michelle Mattia. That was Spinato's Brings Back Kindness Bags. You are listening to the East Valley News on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Did you know that if you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org? Then, click on the link for broadcast info and audio. Today, we're focusing on the news of the past week from Ahwatukee and Tempe. I'm Bill Carney, continuing on. Ahwatukee Group Puts Unique Twist on Quilts by Melissa Herschel. Eliciting curiosity and a sense of delight, the curated lap-size quilts created by Judy Lohavanya, Sharon Keyes, and a cadre of volunteers are both whimsical and therapeutic. A service project for the Daughters of the American Revolution, the colorful quilts provide calm and amusement for veterans in VA hospitals in Phoenix and Prescott, memory care patients in Friendship Village in Tempe, and individuals with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder and autism. We don't always see the recipients when they receive their quilts, but when we do, their faces light up, and it's wonderful to observe, said Keyes. Some of them are incredulous. We give them away for free. Armed with 5 sewing machines and a serger, the creative ladies meet at Lohavanya's home once a week for a quilting bee, where everyday objects get transformed into something magical. Embedded with bells and whistles, the quilts practically beg to be played with. Buttons, toys, fur, fabric, zippers, spoons, jewelry parts, and even small teddy bears are all part of the formula. We just find stuff and create things out of them, said Lohavanya. We refer to Pinterest and clip art for inspiration as well. To create the quilts, the women think outside the box. An example would be using shower and bath loofahs to create texture and even simulate cupcakes. Jewelry gets transformed as well. Pieces can dangle above a pocket, making them easy to put in and take out. One standard found in every quilt is a poppet, a small toy with bubbles that recipients can pop in and out. Adding to the popularity of quilts is customization. They can be created to suit any age, sex, theme, event, holiday, or sports genre. The group creates approximately 8 to 10 quilts each month, with each one taking about 23 hours to complete. Lohavanya and Keyes brainstorm the themes and the layout of the blankets, and the rest of the volunteers bring the vision to life with their quilting and sewing. Currently, the group has almost 500 quilts under its belt. She joked that visitors need to be careful with what they come to the house. Anything embroidered or appliqued can wind up on a quilt, she said. I admired a friend's Route 66 purse, and the next time I saw it, she gave it to me. Naturally, we made a Route 66 quilt out of it. Another time, a neighbor gave my husband a cap with Dale Earnhardt's name, so we did an automotive theme around that, too. It had small cars, a toy trophy, and a Dale Earnhardt bear. The genesis of the quilts began soon after Lohavanya and Keyes sparked a friendship through their local DAR chapter. Keyes became intrigued with a DAR magazine article that showcased the same type of quilts. In 2017, the two women took up the challenge as well. Since the group's inception, they have continually been honing new skills and discovering new people who can benefit from their efforts. One particular event in Lohavanya's life put the quilt project into overdrive. My brother was recovering in the rehabilitation section of Tempe Post-Acute Memory Care, which was formerly Westchester Assisted Living, she explained. We brought 13 quilts since the center was hosting a fair for hospice caregivers. We were happy that we gave out the first 7 quilts. Lohavanya said one quilt made a particularly emotional impact on her. My granddaughter-in-law's grandfather had dementia, she explained. He had worked for Norpak, a frozen vegetable company. We put the Norpak logo on the quilt, along with his favorite colors and fake frozen vegetables. The granddaughter said it was the first time in a long time he showed any spark of recognition. Another impactful moment came when Lohavanya received a desperate call from a staff member at the post-acute memory care lockdown unit, saying they had an emergency. A patient pulled the fire alarm 13 times in one day, and each time all the doors flew open, giving patients the chance to walk away. Each time, the staff had to account for the patients, cancel the fire department, and call maintenance to reset everything. Keyes and LaHavanya thought of an ingenious solution. "We created what looks like a game show button he could wear on a wristband," LaHavanya said. A woman in the unit then figured out how to inject it with a variety of alarm sounds. To the relief of the unit, he could hit it as much as he wanted without the fire department showing up. That was Ahwatukee Group Puts Unique Twist on Quilts. Our next article, Club West Trial Enters New Phase, by Paul Mariniak. Testimony in the trial that could determine the Club West golf course's future ended last week, but it looks like a judge won't have a verdict for at least a month and likely longer. Maricopa County Superior Court Judge Susanna Pineda last week directed both the Club West Conservancy and golf course owner The Edge to complete all briefs with proposed findings of fact and conclusions of law by September 15th, along with a list of any motions they might want to hear to rule on. Pineda presided over the non-jury trial on the lawsuit the Conservancy filed in December 2021 that seeks to prevent The Edge from selling any part of the 162-acre site to any home builder. The judge's order suggests her verdict is likely not to come before late fall, especially since even after the lawyers file what she wants from them, she plans to hold another hearing. Once the court has received the final briefings, the court shall set a date for oral argument, Pineda wrote. This matter will be deemed under advisement once the oral argument is held. Pineda faces a mountain of testimony, briefs, depositions, and other evidence. Her daily findings summarizing the lawyer's submissions beyond live testimony showed several dozen depositions were filed by both parties, along with news clippings and other reports. The Conservancy claims that Shea Homes and another early Club West home builder, UDC Homes, promised the site would always be a championship 18-hole golf course in numerous marketing materials and promotional stories. It also contends UDC and Shea buttressed that promise in sales agreements with home buyers who paid premium lot prices of as much as $60,000 to be located on the course perimeter. Further underscoring its arguments, the Conservancy claims the declarant rights that govern site's use guarantee it can only be used for golf, although Pineda has dismissed two Shea Homes entities and defendants in the suit. The Conservancy claims the four men who comprise The Edge are bound by the same promises that Shea purportedly made in sales agreements with early home buyers. The Edge has cited other clauses in the declarant rights for the course that state a guarantee of golf forever was never contemplated, noting that through the master covenants, conditions, and restrictions governing the Foothills Club West Homeowners Association, all homeowners agreed they had no ownership interest in the golf course, and that they were not relying on any representation a golf course would operate on the property forever. Attorneys for The Edge also cited disclaimers in the master CC&Rs that state, "All persons, including all owners, are hereby advised that no representations or warranties have been or are made by declarant or any other person with regard to the counting ownership, operation or configuration of, or right to use any golf course within, near, or adjacent to the residential property, whether or not depicted on the master development plan or any other land use plan, sales brochure, or other marketing display or plat." The Edge, in an extensive filing, also cited another issue that has bedeviled any efforts to keep the site for golf: water. "Any golf course on the property requires a reliable, sustainable source of non-potable water, which is now absent," lawyers wrote. The Edge has investigated the possibility of obtaining water from another source and found that it would be so expensive and onerous as to the practicality impossible. Former course owner Wilson G. shut off water to the site in 2016, claiming he could not afford bills for city potable water that had reached over $750,000. A would-be owner opened a city water account in 2017 that restored the course to a lush playing field from November of that year until February of 2018, when the city shut off its tap because that would-be owner owed over $200,000 in unpaid water bills. The Edge's court filing said city officials around 2003 tore down the wastewater reclamation plant that provided gray water to the Club West course because the city felt it was too small, inefficient, and required upgrades. The city's move came despite multiple city annexation documents that require use of reclaimed wastewater to irrigate golf courses, and a development agreement for Club West filed with the city in 1988 that said the city agreed to provide wastewater, the Edge's lawyers wrote. After tearing down the transfer station, the city agreed to provide potable water at a discounted rate for 10 years to G. Even before the Edge bought the course, efforts had been made to find a cheaper water source. Several sites were drilled in hopes of finding a well, but they came up dry. An Ahwatukee businessman also floated the idea of installing a pipeline from the Gila River Indian community to take wastewater to the course, but that plan died for lack of investors. The Conservancy unsuccessfully tried to block one of the Edge's four partners from testifying, and a court filing noted some of the lengths to which he went to try to secure water. It said he even called a Scottish company about water and an unnamed company that creates water out of humidity, though the filing did not elaborate. That was Club West trial enters new phase. And finally, from ABC 15. ASU football fans come out for home opener in sold-out game, by Josh Cristianto. It was a big day for college football fans in the Valley as ASU football kicked off its season last Saturday with a home opener game against Northern Arizona University. We got there about 3:30 p.m. Yep, got to get an early start, said Paul Orlando, an ASU fan. I'm really hoping that we can kind of keep the spark from last year going, said Megan Connor. Excitement from last season's Sun Devil success on the field led to a sold-out home opener game against NAU. Many at the stadium were tailgating for the first time. If I only had so much to dedicate, let's do it while they're a really good product, right? It's harder to justify doing all this when we're only going to win two or three games, said Dave Zadinsky. Now we're back, and I hope everybody just stays activated for the Valley, said Lisa Connor. Meanwhile, Scottsdale police have activated a DUI task force over Labor Day weekend, working in conjunction with Arizona DPS and other East Valley agencies. It's so easy to swallow your pride and just ask a friend, hey, do you mind being our designated driver for the day? We're going to go out and have some fun, and we don't want to get arrested for DUI. Police say DUI numbers typically spike during most major holidays, but they're not sure if it's because of more drinking or more enforcement. Making it home safely should be just as important as seeing the Sun Devils make it. Far. Farther than last year. I'll leave it at that. I don't know how far, but farther than last year, said Andrew Turner. That was ASU football fans come out for home opener in sold-out game. Thank you for joining me today for the East Valley News for Ahwatukee and Tempe. I'm your volunteer reader, Bill Carney. Stay tuned for the Arizona Republic coming up next on Sun Sounds of Arizona.